bring your greetings in Jesus' name. It's only because of him that I can stand before you in this way. To begin, let's sing the chorus based on 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4. They're the ones that, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Sorry if that was new. I thought it was more known. Today is about faith. The message today is focused on that. In coming to Christ, Caden, you have exercised faith. And in being baptized, also another step of faith. You know, this is nonsense to the unbeliever. As I've been thinking of what to share for your baptism, I felt like the Lord led me to this subject. I've been reading in Hebrews lately, and I've been challenged. Recently, I came to the faith chapter, as we call it, chapter 11, and was inspired and convicted reading again that those examples of faith, those heroes of faith, of the faith. And I thought about my own need of being more a man of faith. I felt led to preach a message of encouragement for you, Caden. I believe this is not just for Caden or I, but trust it can be a blessing and encouragement to all of us here. I believe if there's ever a time for people to be people of faith, it's in our day. There are many things that challenge our faith today. With all the advancements in many dimensions of life, the overall ease of living, the entertainment and wealth of our society, it can seem unnecessary to need God. I don't know who it was, but I think it was back in Germany somewhere. Some guy said that predicted and declared that Jesus was, or God was dead. And I think many are at that point in our society that God is a myth. God is someone for people who are poor, and he's not the God of America. America doesn't need God. Many of our forefathers sealed their faith with their blood, and in some areas of our world that continues today. Satan is able to convince believers to give up or discard their faith in God easier in our affluent society, I believe, than in areas of persecution. And why is that? Does that have to be? Does that have to be my experience and your experience, or our experience? I guess the burden for myself, for you, Caden, and for each one of us is to be strong in faith. 30 years ago, I was at Caden's age. I'm not that old. As Joel said, I'm middle-aged. I'm at the same place as he is. But the changes that have taken place in that time, in 30 years, is significant. And if you're not aware of it, then your eyes are closed. Particularly in fields of technology, computer, and wealth. If God tarries, what will be facing you, Katie, 30 years from now. I remember the first computer we got, and it was as slow as could be. I mean, it was very boring compared to what we have nowadays. And all the advancements that have been made since then, what will 30 years down the road bring? As a father, that thought can be kind of scary. I'll admit it. What will my children face? What will they, what issues will they have to deal with? When one looks around and observes the throwing off of the faith of some who once professed and lived it and are replacing it with the rags of this world, it can be scary. I am encouraged, though, when I witness those who are coming to Christ in faith, believing on him for salvation and desiring to walk in his ways. If you, Caden, if all of us here are going to make it safely across Jordan, then we will need to live by faith. Faith is a part of every person's life, every day, in some form or other. Who here, when they went to sleep last night, doubted that the sun wouldn't arise this morning? If most of the cars wrecked when they drove on the road, who would have driven to church this morning? I still, whenever I go out to the van, I'm always, being that it broke down on us, I'm still waiting for the time that it won't, whether it'll break down again. So when something has worked and then it doesn't, or something has been faithful and then it doesn't, you know, that shakes us. I guess you could say I lack faith in my mechanical skills, hoping that it all hangs together. There are many things like this in life that demonstrate a form of faith. It's easier to have faith in something tangible, visible, something we can touch. We can't see God with our physical eyes, and yet is no less real. Who believes that air and wind exist? Who has ever seen the wind or the air? How do you know it exists and believe in it? And why do you believe in it? How many here know they have a heart ticking away inside their chest? You may say, how silly of a question is that? Has any of you seen your heart? Then how do you know it exists? Many of us use cell phones. They use signal or radio waves, right? I've never seen any radio waves, so how do I know they exist? Do you see how much faith we use each day? We know that these things exist because someone has told us or because of the evidence. Why then is it difficult to have faith in God and what he says? And I'm speaking to myself. The word faith appears 248 times in the Bible, 2 times in the Old Testament, 32 times in Hebrews, 32 times in Romans. So Hebrews is, along with Romans, is the book that uses the largest amount of the word faith. Obviously, I think it's significant that it is more of a New Testament term, although it's not. Yeah, I was thinking about them Old Testament characters that we read about. Did they even know what faith was? Or is that something that a term that we use to describe how they followed God and obeyed him? So I want to look at what faith is briefly. Number one, the dictionary says it's a reliance or trust in a person or thing, belief in religious doctrine, and number three, a system of religious belief. And believe and trust are words with similar definitions, almost interchangeable. Hebrews 11 verse 1 is the biblical definition of faith. You can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 a while. I don't pretend to fully grasp all that's in this definition, but verse 3 helps me understand it better. Essentially, that God, who we can't see, took nothing and made something. Made this universe, made this galaxy, this solar system, this planet, this human race. It's interesting that in a highly developed nation as ours and all its accomplishments, that this is probably one of the most debated subjects, the origin of life. The writer here says it's the foundational thing that you have to believe. Was anyone there when it happened besides God? You know, it's fine to imagine how it could have been, but at the end of the day, you have to have faith that God did it, and he did it right. I'm confident in that none here doubt the biblical account of this world's origin. I find it fascinating, though, this is the first thing he mentions as the writer opens the chapter of faith. I'm going to read chapter 11 at this time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born and hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assailing to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith Rahab, the harlot Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. As I thought of these individuals, some had serious character flaws. All had faults. But as you think of their lives, they all at some point or other demonstrated a trust and reliance and dependence on God. Even if you take Samson, who we would not normally want to pattern our lives after, it does seem like he came to the end of himself. I don't know if it was when he was grinding in the prison house. You don't read. It says that the Spirit of God came on him in different times whenever he did these great different feats that he accomplished. But this last time, when he was there at the pillars, he cried out to the Lord. And I think he finally realized that his strength came from him, from God. They obeyed the call of God, even against human reasoning. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. Remember that. These heroes believed God's promises. Our faith is built on God's word and his promises. Verse 13. All these died in faith, having not received the promises. So there was promises promised to them by God that they were going after and believing. They didn't even get to experience them. Faith opens our eyes to see what others without faith can't see. I thought it was noteworthy that one of the comments through here of these people of faith was the testimony that they had. Verses 14 through 16 and verse 10, it talks about them being strangers and pilgrims and seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. And that thought continues for us today in chapter 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Does your and my faith see beyond the here and now? And do my decisions and choices reflect that? I want to point out a few promises that we can build our faith on. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The end of that verse says, For he hath said, talking about God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Another one in chapter 13 is verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Another one in Malachi 3. These are promises for our faith to build on. Promises that we need to get a hold of. After a discourse here at the with the children of Israel who were not living according to what they were supposed to, God says in verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, these are just a few promises. The Bible is, God's word is full of them. You know, that promise, I change not, in Malachi, you know, is that true? You know, in some situations in the Bible, it seems that God changed or changed his mind. I thought of Nineveh and Jonah's message. I think there was a message given to Ahab at one point, and then he repented and God changed his mind, it seems. And as I meditated on this, and I'm sure that there are other occasions that we could look at, yes, it seems God changed, yet did his character change? God is all holy, yet he is full of mercy and compassion. Sometimes we see his all holy, unapproachable, and judgmental side, but then we'll see his overwhelming, compassionate, and merciful side. He is the fullness of both of these characteristics. We tend to be one way or the other, harsh at one time and over-lenient the next time. God is the completion of all this. I believe God means what he said in this verse, I change not. God was referring to his promises made to Israel in Malachi. And if God had been a God that changed, they would have been destroyed a long time ago. But because God was a merciful God and that he does not change, he was still showing them mercy even in their rebellion and sin. We need to know and believe God's promises and that he is who he said he is, says he is. That's what faith, true faith, is anchored in. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want your faith to be established and to grow, get to know God through his word. Get to know his word. I mentioned earlier that the characters in Hebrews 11 acted on their faith in God. Faith is action. It will affect our life, our choices, and decisions. Faith that's inactive will shrivel up. Like muscles that don't get used, and shrink, so will faith if we don't use it. James has a good bit to say about faith. James says faith will be tried. When muscles are pushed to their limit repeatedly, they grow. James encourages us to not fear and to expect testing of faith. Faith will become stronger if we are patient and endure the test. Just a thought I had to put in here. Sometimes you hear of someone or a leap of faith. Sometimes that seems like it's based more on human understanding. These characters were acting on what God had given them and had told them. They were not going out in their own fantasy and striking out on something that wasn't ordained by God. You know, lots of times, I'm not here to make a final judgment of leaps of faith, but sometimes they result in a leap of fate. I think we should look at our walk of faith as a walk and steps, that we are taking steps of faith. Caden, life is too big and complicated to totally figure out. We need to learn to walk by faith, not by sight, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We will become mental, bitter, and disillusioned if we attempt to understand everything that happens in life. This in no way excuses us from seeking God and seeking truth and to understand, and seeking to understand, but some things are too big for us. We need faith. We need to, by faith, accept, trust, and obey God in those difficult things. Don't believe the lie that modern man has the capabilities to solve it and that I have the capabilities to figure it out. I want to close with a few verses and some thoughts. May you be as Paul, who said in 1 and 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, excuse me, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. There's a lot of action in that verse. Paul wasn't sitting around twiddling his fingers, his thumbs. He was in the battle, he was in the fight. His faith was motivating him to action. Why could Paul say this? 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 might give us a window into how he could say that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. At the end of that verse, it says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God does the keeping, we do the committing. Along with this committing idea, commit the big, hard things to God. Walk in the clear, simple things you know. Sometimes we confuse and make things hard because we don't do what we know. Let God figure out the complicated things of life. So, you will be tested in your faith, as I mentioned earlier. Which way will you take? Which way will I take when my way or your way conflicts with God's way? My desires, my pursuits my will, which way will I take? These sometimes are everyday things that we face. Which way will I or you take when society and culture says one thing and God says another thing? What if peers say one thing, but God's word differs with that? These will be opportunities of faith. Because remember, faith is founded in God and in His word. True security will be known when God's way is taken by faith. Much more could be shared, I'm sure, on this. I've only touched the surface. But I'll leave you with this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not all have finished well. Many have, though. Have them as your teachers, but first and foremost, look to Jesus, who will see you safely through to the end, no matter what you face in life. Men will fail you, but Jesus never will. You know, whenever we have the privilege to see him face to face, then faith will not be necessary, because we will know him as we are known. But faith is so vital, and I want to take the challenge from my own life and want to encourage us all to, by faith, serve God each and every day. And that's my desire for you, Caden, as you grow in him, as you learn of him, continue to walk by faith, trusting that his way is best. Is there anything to add or correct or any comments?